Hi, this is Erin.
And this is Jessica.
This is episode 36 of the Devil Knit Podcast.
Yes, and Audrey's with us, and she's got hiccups, so you might hear a little, like, noise throughout the podcast. That's Audrey.
Yeah. So you're knitting.
I'm knitting again. Yay! I finished Girasoleil the other night.
It's pretty. It's huge.
It's really big. So I had Wes model it for my blog. I haven't blocked it yet, so he was just holding it. So I've got soaking right now, and I have a couple of people left to comment on my blog already saying, how are you going to block that? It's so big. But I have those, I don't know if I've talked about this before, I've got those, garage mats that are, the interlocking squares. I know some people have, the kid version of it with, the alphabet printed on them or whatever, but I just have plain gray ones. But I've got a couple sets of those that I think I can put together into something sort of big enough for it. I don't know. Oh, you want mom? Okay. I don't know how much I'm going to really pin it out, because since it is a blanket, it's pretty heavy, and I think I could just sort of spread it and smooth it and get a good block on it without having to really, I don't need to stretch the daylights out of it. It's not fine that needs to be pulled apart. Yeah. So that's done. Yay! And I also, I knit a soaker for Abby and Pearly Girl. She had asked for a little help getting those knit for her baby that's due in June. And so I used up leftover yarn from my Granny Smith cardigan. So it's a nice little bright green soaker. And I weighed it when it was done. It used exactly 50 grams of the skein. So if I'm feeling energetic again, I could knit another one. Or maybe not, because I don't know how energetic I'll be feeling. But, and then I've tried and tried and tried to start Loie's cardigan. I started again the last night. So I think part of it is still related to my hand pain, that my gauge is kind of variable right now. I started it making kind of a best guess. And I'm starting it by doing a sleeve. And the sleeve, I have a garter cuff on it and then go into stockinette. So I started by casting on what I thought was the right number of stitches for it.
Are you going to train whistle? Are you
going to blow on the train whistle while we're recording the podcast?
No,
you can't? Okay.
A tiny bit, but it's not loud.
All right.
She'll try, though.
You tried? Okay. And so I cast on a cuff, and it was, huge, and it just kept getting bigger the more I knit it. And, obviously, not longer bigger, but wider bigger, and then I was like, okay, that's no good. I ripped it out. I started again on fewer stitches, also huge, kept getting wider and wider and wider. So then I cut it down again. This was still when I was going down to Disney, and then I ended up with something that was just too narrow. So after I'd knit several inches of the sleeve, so then I ripped that out, and then we were at the Knitters Guild. I started again, but this time I didn't have my smaller needle with me. So I just did a provisional cast on and started knitting the sleeve and stockinette on what I thought were the right number of stitches. But I'm looking at it, and it's just I don't like the fabric. I think I just need to really start again.
Okay, let's not bang.
You know, then I'm talking about my fifth start on a sweater, and now my enthusiasm is completely gone for it.
Yeah.
So I'm considering it frog. I marked it as frogged on Ravelry, even though I haven't actually ripped out the three rounds of knitting I have on the needle. But I'm putting that away for now, and I'll come back to that later. It's kind of annoying me right now.
It's a pretty cardigan, though.
It is, but it just isn't working for me. So, last night I started my Celtic Bunny hat for the knit along.
Yay!
And I knit one repeat of the chart, which I didn't, typical Jessica. I didn't really read the whole thing through, so I just sort of cast on and knit one repeat. Then I looked at it where it says, you only want to work those short rows.
Every other
one. And I'm kind of, this morning was I'm going to have to look, because I read that and then I didn't look at the chart again last night. And I'm thinking, how does that work? Where does that go then? And what am I taking? Anyway, so I haven't really thought that one all the way through yet. but that's, that yarn is so nice to work with.
Yeah.
And it's just it's kind of puffing up under my fingers as I knit with it.
Yeah.
And
I like it when you get the little slubby bits that are fatter.
Uh-huh.
It's nice.
It's very nice. So I've got that. And I also have, I've pulled out my yarn and my needles, and I've got the pattern all printed up to start a new shawl. It's going to be Ice Fantasia by Anne Hansen, which was in the Twist Collective. And it's a Faroese-shaped shawl.
That's not the triangular version of the one. No, the one I did was Diamond Fantasia.
Yeah, this one is it's Faroese shaped, so it's got the shoulder shaping,
right.
Kind of the front wings
to it. put Fantasia in her.
I guess so. Well, I think Ice Fantasia might have another.
No, it was
variation.
Icicle Dreams.
Oh, yeah, you did.
And
Icicle
then one
Dream.
Of the patterns was Diamond Fantasia. And I kept saying Diamond Fangtasia because that's the club in Truebot.
Fangtasia.
Because I'm a nerd.
Yeah. Vampire nerd.
Yes.
Anyway, so that's mine. I'm actually knitting. Yay!
Yeah.
Yay.
Excellent. And you finished something. You
finished
two things.
I finished two things. It's like, no.
After
amazing.
All the weeks of
nothing going on. So, yes, so I'm less bummed now about my knitting.
Hooray.
How about you? I see you've been doing quite a bit of knitting.
Yeah, I finished Snowflake, which I think I had just started last time. And it took like 3 days.
Yeah,
super fast. I really like the ecological wool. Mm-hmm. And I chose that dark heathered purple color, and I just subbed in garter stitch for the stockinette at the top.
Oh, okay.
I just think it makes it nicer, like squishier looking.
Yeah, and then you won't be fighting the curl the whole time.
Yeah, so that's done.
Do you see yourself on there, Audrey? Yeah. Do you see the little baby?
That's you crying.
We're looking at Erin's project page, and Audrey can see herself in her February baby sweater, so she's
like,
very interested in that. Yeah, baby.
Yeah. And Celtic Bunny, I should change that from 5%. I'm looking at my project page.
Yeah.
I finished the repeats for the circumference and grafted them together. And I kind of effed up the grafting thing, but whatever. I budged it. It looks fine. And then last night I finished the ribbing portion for the bottom and started picking up for the top. But I had a really hard time binding off loosely enough.
I hate that too.
Yeah. And so it doesn't look that good because I bound off so loosely, so it would fit. It's still a little bit snug, but...
I know a lot of people like to use Elizabeth Zimmerman's sewn bind off for stuff like that because it is really loose, but I'm not crazy about the way it looks because it does look so loose. The best really loose bind off for ribbing that I know of is a tubular bind off, which is a total pain in the ass.
Yeah, so I just like,
but
very
it
gingerly,
looks really good.
Yeah, I just very gingerly like looped everything over, and it's fine, you know.
Yeah,
I don't care.
That's always been my issue with toe up socks too. Is
getting
doing the bind off. Like I have one friend who used to always do her socks toe up, and to deal with that, the row before her bind off, she would increase, like, dramatically. Maybe, like, increase every second or third stitch and then bind off. And then that would give it some extra stretch.
You
want to see the baby?
Look at you. You look so sad in that picture.
You do. You were wearing that sweater yesterday when you took me out to breakfast.
Jessica's birthday was yesterday, so we took her out to breakfast.
I'm 40. I'm old.
Woo!
Yay.
Breakfast was good, though.
Yeah, I was joking with you at breakfast that I think, like the world is trying to fatten me up to, like, slaughter me on my 41st birthday. I was like, because you guys took me out to breakfast. Then someone offered to take me out to lunch, but I declined because I was already going out to dinner with Wes and the boys. But then Mary, our boss, brought me a box of 4 cupcakes during the day to celebrate my birthday. And at least 2 people on Twitter said that they were going to take me out for cupcakes for my birthday. So I'm thinking, like...
Wow.
I weighed myself this morning just to, like, make sure I didn't actually, like, gain any weight yesterday because it was,
that's a lot of eating out.
It was a lot of endless eating,
but
treats and stuff. I was very good at dinner, though. I got something. I shared my food, so I didn't go too crazy, but anyway.
Yeah. Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Yeah. And I finished my sidelines top.
Yeah, which is also marked still as not
95%.
Finished on here on Ravelry. But yeah, and you wore it to knitting on Monday.
I did. I wore it on Sunday, too. Mm-hmm. I really like it. My only issue is because of the bias panels on the side. The center stockinette portion kind of droops down below and it's kind of floppy. But whatever. I mean, it fits really well. It's flattering.
Yeah.
And
it's your favorite color.
Yeah. Yes. And the yarn was really nice to work with.
And that was the Shellridge Farms
DK.
So you've
machine washable.
Have you knitted all the Shellridge Farm yarn you bought then at Stitches already?
Yes.
The shawl, the ALN shawl, and the sideways top.
Yeah.
Wow.
I have,
look at you go.
Like 2/3 of a skein left of the sideline stock yarn.
Okay.
The DK. And I have some of the Aeolian shawl, but, you know.
Would you like to come sit with me?
Maybe. I was thinking maybe I would use it for, you know, a lot of the Adrian Bazilla mittens that are lined. And lined in lace weight.
Uh-huh.
So I could just do, like, scrappy lace weight lining.
That would be great.
Just to use
nice
it up.
And soft.
And I started a Nook, which is a Kate Gilbert pattern from Nitty...
From the Wayback Machine.
Yeah, it's like 2000...
Long, long time ago.
Is it 2004? 2006? I'm looking. 2004.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's a little pinafore dress. You basically knit a front half and a back half that are the same, and then you knit these little pockets that have poppies on them, sew them on the front, and then you do button tabs for the side.
Yeah, and it's great because it's, you know, when they're little, they can wear it as a dress, but as they get bigger, they can still wear it as, like, a tunic top. And I've seen a lot of people knitting them. Not because you see the baby. And you're using Samoa.
Yeah, which I knit my Lush and Lacy cardigan out of last
year. Oh, right, yeah.
I got it at the sale last year. Yeah. Here's the baby.
There's the baby wearing the sweater.
Yeah, she's super cute.
Yes, she is.
Audrey looks suspicious.
Yes.
No.
You look good in your sweater, too.
But I finished the front last night, and I knit one pocket.
Wow.
It's really fast.
Yeah,
it's worsted weight.
Yeah.
Size 6 needles.
Oh, that's fun.
And it's just, you know, a little seed stitch border
and
hem
it.
And stockinette. And with a little bit of shaping, you do, like, every 8 rows or something.
Wait, boop. Uh-oh. There it goes.
You dropped your book.
Good.
Yeah, and I decided to do the pockets in Intarja just to practice because it's just such a small thing. And it was a lot easier than that Metal Man vest I did for the shop with the Intarja robot.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm just, my skills have just improved.
Oh, there's your hair clip.
Yeah, she pulls it out.
Yeah.
So
that's good.
Yeah, so I'm going to...
It's the little hiccupy.
Yeah. I want to finish the crown of the Celtic bunny hat.
Yeah, that'll go quickly, I think.
Yeah, because it's
once you start decreasing.
Yeah.
And then what's going on with your Print of the Wave? Have you found anyone who has that yarn yet?
No.
No?
So what happened was...
Send me the information, because I can... I've got a couple of different yarn shop owner lists that I'm on, and I can send stuff out and see if anybody's got it.
So what happened was I tried to order it from someone in Eastern Washington who through Amazon said they had it in stock, and the sale just never went through. Like, they said they had it, and they didn't actually have it in stock.
And did they finally refund you?
Well, they never charged me for it.
Oh, they never charged you. Oh, okay, good.
So that was, I was waiting for like a month for that to show up, and then it was just like on Amazon, it just said this... the sale has been canceled or whatever. But I never got an email from them, and I emailed them, so...
That's a bummer.
I'm not going to say who it is, but I don't think I'm going to order from them anymore.
Well, I'll look into that, and also, I'm trying to think... we don't carry Misty, but I could... I'm trying to remember who the rep is that we have, but I might be able to talk when our rep comes by and just have them on the lookout when they visit their stores, because they visit all over.
Yeah, and then I tried to order it from someone in New York who said they had it in stock, and then apparently they didn't actually have it in stock either.
Huh.
And she emailed me and said she was sorry that, she thought they had had it in stock, but they didn't, and then they're having a hard time getting it, like, the specific color.
Huh.
So I don't know what the deal is with this color. So it's just sitting there with...
Aww. That's a bummer.
The 15 repeats or whatever left of the edging.
Yeah.
It's just resting.
It's resting.
I'm pretty...
When I have things like that, I always put them in Hibernate on Ravelry just so that, like,
actually,
I don't have to look at it.
I'm
going to
do that right now.
It always drives me crazy. Even projects that I'm just not fully working on that are just sitting in a bag somewhere, I always put them in Hibernate. Otherwise, every time I open up Ravelry, I'm like, oh, man.
Yeah, I mean, every time I see it, it just kind of pisses me off.
Yeah. You know, actually, so long as we're in looking at Ravelry, there were a couple of new features we were talking about that that we were enjoying or are noticing.
Yeah.
One is that when you're selecting the yarn or the pattern for a project,
yeah, let me go into a different project, and
it'll show you a thumbnail of that thing that you're selecting, which is nice, especially if there's like, if you're doing something where there's 17 patterns with the same name.
Yeah, so I don't think this has it really.
No,
but in pattern name where it says link, so it also brings up the anything that's by someone with that name.
Oh yeah.
As a designer or the actual pattern name is that. So my unisocks, there's a whole list. if you click on the link thing and a pattern name.
Oh, down there says show pattern thumbnails.
And you click the show pattern thumbnails, and then you can see pictures of it.
Yeah, which is really nice when, you know, because a lot, you know, there are a lot of patterns on Ravelry, and if you're knitting something called, you know, Snowflake, for instance, I'm sure there's like 78 patterns called Snowflake on Ravelry. Yeah. And then also seeing the thumbnail of the yarn sometimes is helpful, too, because there are a lot of yarns with the same names. One of the other things you can do now is you can link your queue with yarn in your stash so that when you look at your stash, it'll say this yarn is queued for this project, which I think is very
that's
nice.
That's very cool. I haven't noticed that
It
before.
Wasn't. It just started, I don't know, someone pointed out to me about a week ago. And that, I think, is really nice because I've made notes before, like, oh, I want to knit this in such a yarn, but it doesn't make a note on the yarn itself. So then when I'm looking in my stash, then I'm like, what did I want to use that for? And then I have to go back. So now it's all linked up. So if you cue something, when you look at your stash, you'll get a thumbnail of the pattern that you want to knit.
Oh,
and it'll say that it's cued for that, which is really nice.
And I also like that on your cue, if you've linked yarn where it says all use such and such, it'll say possible stash instead of in stash because, like, sometimes you don't actually know.
Yes.
If you haven't updated your stash to all used up.
You've lost the hair clip.
Oh, that's okay.
Okay.
It's on your mouth, is it?
No, no, she
likes
dropped
to
it.
Generally... Okay.
I dropped it. Where did it go?
And I want to thank Rose, Lil Greenhouse.
Yeah.
She gifted me the Playful Stripes cardigan pattern by Alana Dacos.
That's
from
nice.
Never
she
Not
gifted
Knitting.
Me Eastlight for my birthday.
Yeah, she was like, I'm knitting for boys.
Yeah, she is doing
this is really
a lot
cute.
Of boy
just think of it as this really late birthday present for Audrey.
That's
so isn't
sweet.
It cute? It's baby cashmerino.
Oh, great.
So
and
I
probably have dribs and drabs of it in your stash.
I have a little bit.
From Audrey's baby sweater.
Yeah. So I have, like, 3 or 4 colors. It's just a little girl's cardigan that has a garter. It's basically a garter yoke cardigan.
That's striped, so it's got a lot of texture to it. The color's going to pop.
It's very cute.
Really cute.
So I'll just probably need to get maybe a couple more colors and a body color. Thanks, Rose. You're awesome.
Great stash buster.
Yeah.
Yesterday I had someone who was asking me a lot of questions at work about doing seamless set-in sleeves, and...
One of the shoulder
shapings that Elizabeth Zimmerman writes about that I've not tried yet, and I keep meaning to. And then I was saying yesterday, like, I should just buy some yarn and just get something and take it home and just knit myself one of these sweaters. And now I'm like, what could I put on that? I could add some cables to it. Maybe I could take the cable from, you know, Cromartie by Alice Starmore and put it on that. And now I'm like, and then I was thinking pullover. And now I'm like, I could do a cardigan. I could do that. So, who knows if that'll actually happen, but that's definitely something I'm marinating on right now.
But this, if you've not seen this cardigan, the Playful Stripes cardigan, it's sizes 3 months to 6 years, so there's a really good size range. So, that's awesome. Because I think I'm going to knit it for Audrey for this fall, so I'll probably end up knitting it sometime this summer.
Oh, and you bought the yarn for that Cecily Glauck McDonald.
I did.
So the
Kira.
Kira, the sweater I was describing to Erin on the last podcast is a new sweater by Cecily Glauck McDonald, and I linked to it in the show notes on the blog.
So cute.
But I just knew Erin would love it because it's like 3/4 sleeve. It's kind of vintage styling. It's the perfect sweater for a couple of cute vintage buttons if you have them.
It's got a lace panel on the sleeve. It's got little... I have not done pockets on... Well, I've done, like, pockets you sew on Aster, like, on a Nook, but I haven't done, like, pockety pockets before.
Pockety pockets. Integrated pockets.
Yeah.
Pockety pockets. It's a really cute design. It's just got a really nice kind of vintage style to it. And
it's knit in Nordique.
Which we love.
The Veronique Avery yarn. I haven't used it yet, so... Yeah. And I bought the exact same color she used, because I like that, and I'm going to... Probably find some. I might have some red vintage buttons.
I was thinking of using the Nordique for my set-in sleeve imaginary sweater.
Yeah,
because I bet that cables really well too.
Yeah,
that'd be nice.
I bet it does.
But then I was like, what color do I want? And I kept thinking. Well, I guess I was looking at the picture of Cromartie by Alice Starmore, and it's done in like this kind of robin's egg blue. And I was like, well, Aaron already bought all the Robin's Egg blue and the Nordiques, so I'll have to pick a new color.
Yeah, so I emailed Cecily because the sizing, I was like kind of in between two sizes where I'd have 2 inches of positive ease or an inch and a half of negative ease, and to ask her what she thought, and she emailed me back like within an hour.
Cool.
I was like, yeah. So good pattern support.
Did she say negative ease?
She said positive. Okay. Because it allows for more stuff you can wear under it.
Oh, that's true.
And she said that the one she knit, she felt like it was a little bit snug, and that she would go up to the more positive ease.
Okay.
I think she said hers had like half an inch of negative.
Well, yeah, actually, it says it in the pattern description. Oh, yeah. Half an inch of positive ease, which is great.
Yeah. So she would go up a little more.
See, if I were to do it, I'd probably do it with a little negative ease, because I'd probably always wear it open, because I usually wear my cardigans open, so a little bit of negative ease, I prefer if I'm going to wear it open, just because I don't need the extra fabric hanging, and that way it'll
stay. An inch and a half seems like a lot. I knit my sidelines top with like an inch and a half of positive, and it fits okay. I want it like zero ease, basically. So, I don't know.
Well, you could just probably nibble some stitches off the front panels and make it negative ease.
So, we'll see.
Zero.
I'm gonna finish.
Of course, you're also assuming that your gauge is exactly on.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, it usually is.
Down to the millimeter. I'm just teasing.
But it's super cute, and she's coming out with a new book called New England Knits.
Yes, with Melissa LeVar that I'm really looking forward
to. It's on pre-order through Amazon, but I'm sure you could put in a thing to be on your wait list, like
LYS. It's being published by Interweave Press, so like at our shop, we've already got, I mean, we get all the Interweave knitting titles already. But it's not coming out
until
June.
Why are you licking
like
your hand, you spaz?
Not me, I'm not doing it.
Audrey.
You want to go back over to Mom? Yeah, I'm really excited for the book. I think it's going to be a lot of great knits. I've only seen a few little sneak peeks of it.
Yeah, so I'm really excited to use this yarn and really excited to use this pattern. I think it's going to be super versatile, and hopefully I'll get it done. I mean, the weather's kind of crappy today, but get it done before it gets too warm to wear it. Because it's at the top of my queue to knit.
It's also, you know, it's DK weight wool, so I think
it could be
in Seattle, you could wear that
in the evening
almost all the time. Yeah. I mean, not during the day on the hottest days, but there's very little time of year in Seattle that you can't wear a DK weight sweater. Oh, speaking of new things, I'm all excited, so I want to talk about this. We're getting all the reps have started flowing into the store. I've seen 3 reps in the last, like, 4 days. They're all showing me all the fall stuff already, which is kind of crazy since it's, you know, April.
The Amy Butler?
Yes, but we're getting... Rowan is teaming up with Amy Butler, and I don't know, most of you probably know who she is. She's a fabric designer, and she does sewing patterns, and she's got a really cool style. And so she is coming out with 2 Rowan yarns called Belle DK and Belle Erin, and they are 50-50 organic cotton and organic wool. And...
She likes that wind.
Yes. And there's a pattern book, too, I think it's going to be called Midwest Modern, which is the name of another sort of style design book that she had done. And it is supposed to be ready to ship, so we're getting it in after the sale at the shop, so it should be coming in early May. And I'm very excited about that. And so long as I'm mentioning it, there's a sale at the Fiber Gallery.
Woohoo!
We're having our 6th anniversary sale, and that is going to be April 30th, May 1st, May 2nd. And
mayhem.
It's crazy. It's gonna be an amazing sale. I mean,
yeah, there's really good stuff in
there's
it.
There's really
year.
Good stuff in it.
Really
this
good
year.
Stuff.
Can't divulge all the details, but 40% off clearance, 20% off all other yarn, and there's gonna be some good stuff there. So definitely worth checking
exciting.
Out.
And then the LYS tour is coming up.
And
too.
Then the LYS tour is a little later this year. It's at the end of May. And I cannot remember the dates off the top of my head, but it's like a week later than it was last year, because I think Mother's Day is different date. Something happened and we moved it. So, yeah, and that's coming up too.
Passports are available at your LYS.
Yes.
So, and is there stuff on the group in Ravelry, right?
Yeah, there's an LYS tour group on Ravelry, or you can go to lystour.com and see the details on the tour.
So if you're planning a trip to Seattle, that would be a good time to get all the yarn stored.
Definitely. It's a really fun event.
And you get free patterns and discount on the free pattern from each store. My goodness.
Come here, you kooky. Mommy's trying to talk.
So each store comes up with their own free pattern. So you get a free pattern and then a discount on the yarn for the pattern.
Yeah.
So
it's a really great chance to just kind of get out. And it's just got a really fun atmosphere, too. Yeah. Like, everyone's all excited and there's just a lot of activity.
And knitters everywhere.
Yeah.
And you can also enter at each store you go to every day. You can enter to win drawings.
There's a daily door prize at every store. Yeah. And we have so many prizes this year. The daily drawings are going to be a lot bigger. So, yeah, it's 100 chances overall to win one of the daily prizes. And the grand prizes have increased this year.
Yeah,
so there's
it's huge.
There's more prizes. So there's one $500 grand prize and two $250 prizes and five $100 prizes. And those prizes are gift certificates from stores of your choice in the tour. And that's for completing your passport if you visit. If you visit all the stores. Someone is silly today. Are you silly today? Yes, you are.
She slept a long time and had a good breakfast.
So. Yeah. Have you been watching anything lately?
Yes, I have. I am on I just started season 4 of Buffy, which coincides with season 1 of Angel. So I've just been going back and forth between them, watching one and one of the other. Because I guess they have crossover episodes.
Oh, okay.
So I'm really enjoying that.
And that's all on Watch Instantly.
Watch
right
Instantly,
now.
Yeah. I watched The Number 23 with Jim Carrey.
Oh.
Yeah, it was terrible. Horrible, horrible, horrible.
This is sort of like a horror movie or a psychological thriller with Jim Carrey. Yeah. The words psychological thriller and Jim Carrey don't really go together.
Yeah, the premise seemed interesting, but no, the movie's terrible. And I watched The Tenant, which is a Roman Polanski film.
Oh, yeah.
Where this guy moves into an apartment. It's in France, in Paris, I think.
Yeah.
He moves into an apartment and he thinks that, people in the building are out to drive him crazy because the apartment he moved into, the woman who lived there before committed suicide, but she was in a coma. So he kind of gets into her life because he visits her in the hospital to see what her condition is in because he's trying to get her apartment. Mm-hmm. It's weird. It was okay. It was not fantastic.
Yeah.
What else did I watch?
I don't know.
Oh, I just finished season 3 of Battlestar last night. We watched the last season, so it's getting good.
Well,
Gaius Baltar's not dead.
Oh, sorry.
Still waiting for it. Still don't like him. Still find him annoying. And what else? Oh, I went to a show, like a music show, with Amanda last week. I went and saw Florence and the Machine. She's big in the UK. She won a Brit Award.
Uh-huh.
The opening band was terrible, but which we got there partway through, like almost like toward the end of that set, so that was fine. It's like, this is terrible. I'm glad we weren't here for this. But Florence and the Machine was awesome.
Cool.
Yeah, and she wore shawls. So yay!
Oh, there you go.
She had a big white shawl that she wore and then used as kind of a prop. And then during the main show, and then when she came back for the encore, she was like all dressed in black with a black shawl. So, yeah. Apparently, the
only
Brits
you
can
review a show and include the costumes.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
And she had an amazing energy. She was like bouncing around the stage like the whole thing, and her voice was way too big for the venue. It was at the show box downtown.
Yeah.
So I guess she plays like really huge venues in the UK. But amazing if you have the chance to see it. It's good.
Cool.
She has a website and with, I think, a lot of her videos up. Or you can go to YouTube. Mm-hmm. They're really interesting. Her videos.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it. How about you?
Wes and I finally watched District 9, which we've had at home from Netflix since, like, early February, I think. And I really, really liked it. It, I don't know if everyone's familiar with the plot of District 9. It's a South African film where the premise is that an alien ship arrived over Johannesburg and sat for 3 months, and when people finally boarded the ship, they found that the aliens on board were out of fuel and starving to death, and so they put them in this sort of shanty town in Johannesburg, and this is obviously like a pretty clear you know, social message about things that have happened in the past in South Africa. And so they're in this sort of ghetto, and they're beginning, and they're shooting this documentary about, well, you're viewing it, this documentary that seems to be about that at the time where they're planning on relocating, getting this slum out of the center of the city because there's a lot of crime related to it, and trying to move it somewhere else. So, but then it, without, I don't want to spoil anything, but it kind of goes off in a different direction than what you would expect, and it's really interesting. I liked the way they chose to tell the story. It's sort of the classic rule of cinema is, like, you start, like, right in the middle of the story, which is great, and it was a very... I just liked a lot of the decisions they made in terms of how they told the story.
They do.
And the world they created for this film. So it was really well done. It is a little gross. Someone had left me a comment saying that, like, she just couldn't watch it. It's a little splattery. Stuff kind of... There's a lot of squishing around, but... But I thought it was really well done. But also on the disc for it, I saw the trailer for this mock blaxploitation film called Black Dynamite.
Which is an awesome title.
And I put the trailer on my blog because it's so funny. I'm sure the film runs out of steam after about 20 minutes, but it's probably not a good enough joke to do over a whole feature. But for the trailer, it's completely hilarious. They do a very good job with that, so... I would recommend checking that out. I've also been watching, of course, RuPaul's Drag Race, and I watched this last episode. We're coming up on the final episode. The finale where they pick the winner, but then there's also a reunion show. Mm-hmm. But they were doing a clip show, and so their guests for the clip show were three contestants from last season, including the winner and Chanel. And Chanel, they said that she's relocated to Seattle, Washington.
Yay.
And so I got online and I did a little sleuthing. And Chanel does a show at Julia's on Broadway every Friday and Saturday night. So I'm thinking, like, field trip.
I know.
Like, gotta go see
super
Chanel.
Exciting.
The funny thing, too, actually, my older son came by while I was looking at the website. And her website starts automatically playing music. And it happened to be Lady Gaga, which my older son is sort of having, like, a love-hate thing with, like... He hears it a lot because he's an 11-year-old, but he also doesn't quite like it. But it's anyway, so he came running over saying, "Is that Lady Gaga? Is that Poker Face?" And then he saw the website and had a picture of Chanel, like, all done up.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, "Who's she? What's that?" And then I said, "Well, you know, that's actually, it's a guy." And he was like, "What?" And he kind of, like, blew his mind there. Like, and he said, he's like, "It's a cross-dresser?"
No,
that looks kind of gross.
Yeah.
He said, "It's a cross-dresser?" And I was like, "Well, no, it's a drag queen, which is really different from cross-dresser." So anyway, we got to have a whole discussion about that.
Thanks, RuPaul.
But he's still a little... Yeah, doesn't quite get the difference. But anyway, but I'm all excited because, like, we could go see Chanel.
That is exciting.
She wasn't my favorite from last season, but still...
Worth seeing.
Yeah, totally worth seeing. I'm just fascinated to see what her show is really like after hearing her talk about how fabulous her show is.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I watched that, and then I don't know. Wes and I have just been like, you know, finally all this stuff is back on TV. So, like, we've been watching Lost because Wes is, like, so hooked for the Lost finale, and I am so bored with it. Like, every episode, I'm like, just kill them all. Forget it. I'm over it. And Glee is back on the air. And this week was the Madonna episode. It was all Madonna. And I have to say, it was a really... I mean, I hate Madonna, and I don't like Madonna's music at all. And there were even songs that they sang that I didn't even recognize. Yeah. And it's like, my knowledge of Madonna...
Hey, hands off, please.
Dancing with the turntable.
You don't touch the needle. You
know
that.
My knowledge of Madonna ends about, like, 1992. So, but it was still a really funny episode. It had some, you found your hair clip. Good job. So anyway, but I've just been watching, that's my way of saying, I've been watching a lot of, like, regular TV instead of movies, so getting all caught up.
Have you been reading anything?
I have been reading a couple things. I have been reading a book. Actually, Amanda had I had been recommending, and I mean I'd known about it for a long time, but a book called Why We Buy. I mean, it's a little dated now. It's kind of funny, but it was written maybe about 10, 15 years ago about sort of the design behind retail stores. And I guess I'm reading it a little bit with an eye toward the shop, but it's just kind of an interesting read. It's written in a very conversational style. The author's Paco Underhill. Actually, there's a dust jacket quote on it by a woman named Faith Popcorn, which got me, like, one night I was all punchy, so Wes and I were, like, coming up with, like, all the other people they decided not to have quotes from, like, Chastity Gummy Bear and, you know, and Hope Milk Dud. whose name is Popcorn? I don't understand. Anyway, but it's an interesting book. But also I was looking on the website for my local library branch, and they have a book club, and they're reading Behind the Scenes of the Museum by Kate Atkinson, which is probably, like, my favorite book I've read in the last 15 years, but I haven't read it in about 10 years. So, I checked it out and started reading it again, and I still love it, but I thought it would be kind of interesting to revisit it to see if I like it as much the second go-round. Plus, at this point, I've forgotten all the plot twists and turns. I remember that there's a lot of them, but I can't remember what they are exactly, so it'll be kind of fun to be, like, surprised all over again by it. Because that was definitely a book that every time, as I was reading it, I kept, like, gasping and, like, totally amazed. And Wes would say, what, what? And I was like, no, I can't tell you. But the minute I finished it, I, like, pushed it at him, and I was like, you have to read this now. And then I got to listen to him read it, and go, because there's a lot of good twists in it. But that's all I've been doing, and I've been checking out a lot of quilting books in the library lately, trying to get some inspiration. What are you reading?
I finished Pride and Prejudice.
Besides right now we're reading There Was a Lady Who Swallowed a Fly. Oh, right, you're rereading Pride and Prejudice.
Yeah, I finished that. We all know how that turns out.
Yeah, did it work out all right?
It's good, yeah. Everyone's happy in the end. So
that Austin, is she a decent writer?
Yeah, I really like her work.
Did she write anything else? No, okay, we'll stop this joke now.
And I was reading, was it Surviving the Stop Second Guessing Yourself, The Toddler Years, by blogger mom or something. And I felt like maybe it's just me, but it all seemed like common sense stuff to me. Yeah. Like, carry snacks for your kid. Like, you know, when you go to play dates, be present to what your kid is doing. Don't let them hit each other. You know, it's okay to let them argue, but if they start hitting, swoop in and, you know.
Yeah.
It was all kind of common sense stuff to me.
I think really, you know, there is no magic to parenting. It is all common sense. And so, you know, the books that are good are the ones where it's like, yes, that makes sense to me. And the ones that I think you should avoid are the ones where it's like, really? You want me to do what?
Yeah. So, what's the other one? I picked one up, but I haven't started reading it yet. It's called The Case for Make-Believe.
Oh, that's good.
Saving Play in
about
a Commercialized
it.
World by Susan Lynn. Louise suggested it to me because she's a part-time nanny.
Yeah.
She said it was really fascinating. Yeah. Apparently the people she...
ooh, water on the computer.
Yeah. Good save.
Yes, thank you. I am a mom, you know.
Yeah. The people she nannies for always buy all these parenting books and never read them. She reads all these, like, brand new parenting books and, you know, child psychology.
Well, it sounds
like
the people she nannies for don't do a lot of parenting. Yeah. So
I'm excited to read this. I got another one that was by Susan Lynn called Consumer Kids.
Uh-huh.
About how companies or how children are targeted for all the stuff and, you know, real life cases of, like, lingerie Barbie. What? No, it was like, I don't think he started reading it, he got all indignant. He's like, you know what? I don't think I should finish reading this book, because it makes me indignant about things I'm indignant about already, and I just get mad, and, like, I was like, why don't you put it down and read the other one? But he took the other one with him to work.
Yeah.
Like, to finish reading it, even though last night he was saying that it was pissing him off, so.
Oh, yeah. Actually, I was just seeing something online yesterday that was saying, basically, like, there are studies that said, like, you know, the kids, if you want to get kids to eat something, basically you need to have, like, you know, Elmo on it or something. Yeah, it is. I mean, it's interesting now that my kids are old enough. that they understand they're being marketed to constantly, and yet, like, intellectually they understand that, but emotionally they still want the stuff they're being pitched. Like,
yeah.
We bought a new mattress for my younger son's bed. This was going back a couple years, shortly after he started spending more time at my in-laws, where they get to watch, commercial television, which they don't watch at home.
Mm-hmm.
So he'd been watching commercials on TV, and Wes took him out to get this mattress, and Wes picked out whatever mattress he picked out, and my son apparently had, like, the biggest tantrum because he wanted, like, a Posturepedic mattress. And it's like, where in the world would he get that idea?
Yeah.
And of course, and then that was the same summer that I took them to get new sneakers, and they were like, no, we need the Skecher, you know, blah, 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 like, whatever the new ones were. And I said, just because you told me that, we're going to get different shoes. Like, I'm not buying stuff. And we talk about that a lot, you know, when you walk through the grocery store and they see, like, Shrek on a cereal box. Like, why do you think they put Shrek on that cereal box? And it's because they're trying to get you to buy it, you know, so that you'll say to me, Mom, I want that cereal. And so it's interesting. Like, my older son can articulate all of that really well, and he understands that's what's happening.
But that doesn't mean
he still really wants it. It's really... It's interesting to see how that's affecting them, but I don't know. You know, you try to minimize it to the extent you can. But, I mean, you know, then there's also the extent that, like, it's not like I'm immune to marketing either.
Yeah.
And, or any
of us. Look at this new yarn. It's
yeah.
I mean, this is squishy, and look at these colors, and da da da.
Yeah. Or even, like, that food looks good, or whatever, you know, like... Wes and I watched a Top Chef. We've been watching Top Chef Masters. Maria Hines is going to be on next week.
Oh.
She's the chef from Tilth here in Seattle, and we've eaten together at her restaurant. I've eaten at her restaurant quite a bit, and I love her food, so I'm excited to see that. But, you know, and that sort of thing even, like, seeps in, because they shop at Whole Foods for that show, and we stopped at a Whole Foods this past weekend because we were just near one and we needed some things. You know, we kept making jokes about it that, like, you know, okay, chef, you know, which protein are we going to pick here? You know, it did kind of, I mean, I'm sure somewhere in my mind that was part of my thing of saying, oh, we can go to Whole Foods. Although I have yet to buy Alexis, even though they're a big sponsor of the show, so I'm maybe somewhat immune. But
anyway. It takes much more food.
Yeah, it takes a little bit more.
Than groceries. Although Whole Foods sometimes.
Yeah, I know. It's like, you can shop at Whole Foods or get Alexis. It's probably about the same. Yeah, okay, are we done?
Yeah. So for the knit along, you have until April 30th. We don't care if you finish your thing.
Yeah. They can't see you playing peekaboo, Audrey.
I don't really care if you finish your hat or not. Just post pictures of your progress.
Peekaboo!
And I'll do random number generated prize winners.
Yes.
Probably two.
And I have some prizes to donate.
Okay.
For this.
Excellent.
I got some good ones.
Yay! Peekaboo!
I want to chat with Jessica about our next knit along thing.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about it soon. So thanks for listening.
Yeah. Bye.
Bye.
I was taking a walk.